America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Empty backfield after motion. Third down and 10 at the Houston 15-yard line. Allen shotgun.
Got to be aware of him running when it's empty like this.
Allen gets the snap. Allen looking. Allen running out to the right side. Allen trying to extend the play. Throwing out of bounds. Right side incomplete. Samuel, the only receiver in the area. Texans get off the field after the turnover. But here's Bass to try to tie it up.
All right, you're in the Loop Sports Radio 610 on a victory reaction Monday, brought to you by Shoppers John Deere. 23-20, the victory for your Texans. You heard a little bit of defense showing up there. They're going to have some guys on that side of the football show up in this segment. We like to call hoo-hoo. Let's talk about who you
like. I like the way you say that.
I know, I like putting that level of energy on
put
it.
Put a little jelly on it.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's talk about it. Who showed up, who showed out for your Texans in this victory versus the Bills? Lopez, would you like to start?
Yeah, look, the defense is going to dominate this, but I want to start with a couple of names on the offense that absolutely hooped. All things considered, you got to start with, and this is non-CJ related, which a lot of these are because we know he's going to hoop. Stephon. I mean, that was big time.
100%.
I mean, that was big time, especially after Nico went down.
Yeah. I mean, when Nico Collins goes down after nine plays, right, one of those being a 67-yard bomb down the middle of the field, you can tell, by the way, before I continue talking about Stephon, CJ Stroud relishes the opportunity to take a shot.
Oh, the way he celebrated? Crossed his arms.
There's that, right?
Smirked.
There's him staying on business in that way. But then also, like, you could just see it early on in the season. Mm-hmm. And I've been looking for it since, looking back at the, the Colts game, week 18 last week where, you know, he.
Oh, the 75.
Yeah,
to Nico.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you could tell when they want to take a shot and he's relishing it. And one of the things that I've loved this year is that he's taken the ability to, like, want that shot but drop it down. And so when it was there, he took it. But. You know, Nico Collins goes out and he has been the most consistent wide receiver in the league all the way across. Like, obviously, he leads the league in receiving, or at least coming into this game. I'll need to check what that looks like. Although I imagine
67 didn't hurt.
Yeah, I imagine he's still got a whole bunch up there. But then at that point, when you talk about a wide receiver that is going to terrorize a defense, I think you're down to one in that game, with all due respect to Tank Dell and those things. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about how where he's at and what they're doing with him. But Stephon Diggs was the guy, and he constantly found his way to be open, sliding, catching the football, and he relished in it. Six receptions, 82 yards. I mean, that was exactly
and big catches.
What you needed. Big catches.
Absolutely. Conversions, third down. We talked about, you know, C.J. Stroud on third down was 9 out of 10.
There was one of those.
A lot of them were to Stephon.
Yeah, one of those that was just like C.J. just feathers in a perfect ball where the cloud cornerback sees what's happening, tries to get back, but C.J. puts the ball just over him, and Stephon Diggs elevates, gets the ball down, first down.
Like, yeah.
Stephon Diggs served in that role where, you know, typically Nico Collins is there. And Stephon Diggs has had his. I don't want to pretend like Stephon has not been putting on.
Yeah.
But in a game that meant so much to him, he got to be the right wide receiver that was the one that CJ was looking for in a lot of moments.
And he talked about it afterwards. You know, I'm not going to lie. It meant a lot to me. But I think with Nico out, it meant a lot to the team that he did step up. So I got to give it to Stephon. One more on offense, and then I know you have some hooped, as you put it.
That's right.
How are we feeling about Blake Fisher now?
That's a really good question that we might need to dig into a lot more. I want to watch the cut up of, you know, some of his play, but especially when you juxtapose it with him being just dropped in last week when Tunsil goes out. Not bad.
On the
right side. Like, now there were some instances where he got moved a little bit or he got beat, but he also had some instances where he won those reps handily. Like, there was one where I know in pass protection where he stonewalled the edge. So he's done a little bit of something. I thought he handled himself well, and that it feels good to know that you have a guy that you can drop in.
Yeah.
You know, when he's given the time to play and he can show up. And it also feels good knowing that this is the early point, that the growth and development should be coming for him.
And we've already seen it in one game to the next.
100%. So I give him a lot of credit. No more burying the lead. and we've probably talked enough about him, and yet there's not enough. Azeez Alshire. Azeez was a monster in the course of this one. I cannot get out of my head the play in which it is Tampa 2. Like, he is up
coverage?
As a middle linebacker, and then, you know, it's cover 2, but it's Tampa 2, so that middle linebacker is the one that's going to slide back, and he's covering the middle of the field. And Josh Allen, I think rightfully diagnoses that, hey, too high safety.
No, he picked on
that. That middle of the field is the place to attack. And Azeez Alshire drops back in coverage and just acrobatically defends the ball. In fact, almost picks the ball in that instance. And I'm like, dude, who does that? I think I turned to you in a moment. I was like, Perriman's not doing that last year.
No. And we talked about that earlier, too. No, I mean, Josh Allen did the right thing and made the right throw. But he was outstanding all day long, Azeez Alshire.
And that's coverage that is rallying to the football. Run fits, even though like in the first drive it didn't look great, you get down to it, and he's reading, he's reacting, he's quick, and he's the quarterback of that defense. Yeah. Man, like in addition to being the heart and soul of it, I am so happy to have Azeez Alshire here. And Henry Toa handles himself very well. You add Christian Harris to this mix, and I just love the linebackers that you have here.
I got one more here because it's really one of the hardest jobs in football when you have a true shutdown corner on one side and you're the other cornerback. That is so hard. You're Derek Stingley hooped. I mean, let's just set that.
Yeah.
Let's just put that out.
Okay.
There. But that's not the one I'm talking about. Like he had Stingley had 4 targets, 0 catches, and they didn't even really look at him that much in other areas. But Kamari Lassiter, you're gonna get picked on. You know, you're gonna be thrown at. Dude stepped up. I mean, there was one big play that he gave up. I don't mind it. You know, it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
But he hooped.
Yeah, and I do want to go back to Blake Fisher because this was mentioned, and I do want to make sure that I'm not like not trying to sugarcoat it. He did have his bad reps. In fact, him getting walked down into CJ's lap was what caused that fumble that put this game into a little bit of peril at that point. But I think overall I was more positive than negative on his play.
Yeah.
And maybe that's because I had gotten too negative after seeing him dropped in and just get whooped time and time again on that left side.
It's also, to me, expectation. You know, after last week's game, I was like, oh, boy, Titus Howard's out. Didn't know I was going to miss him that much. And Blake Fisher held his own.
Yeah. On that defense, can I just give it to the entirety of the defensive line? Is that fair? Because I just thought as a unit, right, this was one of those, you know, five fingers and moving together, kind of that type of moving on a string type of defensive game that was necessary because of what Josh Allen is capable of doing when he has a lane, right? Either you know you have to try and go get to him because he has the arm and the arm talent to be able to hurt you. But then when you try and get to him, if you get too deep, you give him length to run into. If you aren't containing, he can pick up yards. And we saw that on quite a few plays where he gets out into space and you're just like, that's a first down and more right as soon as he breaks contain.
Yeah.
But for the most part, that contain was very good. And I gave them credit. I have to give this defensive line all the way across, especially Davis, Settle, those kind of depth guys that are coming in and also getting – there's no fall off in any ways when it comes to that contain and the ways that they did it. And in addition to containing him, they also got pressure on him, which I thought was impressive because that's not an easy thing to do. To maintain your pass lanes, that slows you down a little bit, except they didn't. They got back there.
Yeah, look, and we can – you know, it's a week-to-week thing in terms of – getting to the quarterback and getting him down. Last week, I felt like they should have gotten the quarterback down more with Trevor Lawrence.
Yes.
This week, they did their job admirably.
Yeah, so you're not feeling bad about sacks on the ends.
It's a curve because you're dealing with Josh Allen. You know, like they did get pressure on him, but they also didn't let him escape as much as he's want to do, you know?
Yeah.
So you do grade on a curve. I got another one for you here that you know, it feels a little bit weird to say, although at the same time it doesn't, given what we've seen. If you're talking about the best kickers in the NFL, you have to mention Kyahmi Fairbairn.
Yeah,
you have to mention him. I mean, it's not one of the ones that come top of mind, especially before the season or you know, certainly certain points in his career. Kyahmi Fairbairn was just a cool customer, man. 59 yards with the game on the line. And knocks it down, and everyone in the locker room, now I don't think it was just because they won, but I think they were legitimately confident, oh, he's got this. He's got this.
Yeah. And they were right to. Like, they have been right to all this season. He missed one 50-plus yarder in the course of this season thus far. Like, that dude has been automatic. And he's been able to kind of ease some of the faults that have happened with this team, whether it was penalties, killing drives, or sometimes just putting yourself into third and long situations that made it tough to continue drives. As long as you're around midfield, you're in generally that area, you give him an opportunity to step up, and he's knocking them down. So, no, that has been huge, adding 3 points on some drives where a lot of other teams would be giving the ball away with a big old zero on the board. All right, this one. Do y'all feel like this is going to be a stretch here?
A reach?
Does this feel like it's going to be a reach? Because I thought Bobby Sloak was pretty damn good in this game. There are some issues. I know that we're looking around like, yo, why are you so hell bent on Dare? We have to have a conversation about him stacking the box and running into a whole bunch of bodies in there. However, I thought that there was quite a few instances where the play calling was really good, and you know, maybe you had a drop pass like Dare out in the flats. Or, you know, getting a 3-by-1 and running tank across the field, and you're just like, yeah, no defense is going to be able to cover that.
Yeah.
And, man, I thought he did a pretty good job in the course of this one offensively. And you saw the off – and then also being committed to running the ball in some ways. I did want to see them run the ball. I do obviously want to see them do it a little more effectively. But they did it pretty solid in this game against a Bills defensive line that was not going to be able to be a challenge in that way.
Hooped might be a little strong.
Okay.
Might be. That's just my opinion. It's your list. You know.
No. It is our list. Don't
no, I'm saying it's our list, but your contribution to the list is Bobby Slowick.
So what do we want to do with the offensive line? How did you feel about the offensive line as a whole? Because we've mentioned Blake Fisher, but Laramie Tunsil didn't have any penalties on that left side. I don't know. Were there any times where you were looking at Kenyon Green where you were like, hey, man, what are you doing? Like, I think that they handled up pretty
Juiced
pretty
same
well.
Way.
In fact, there was a play early in this game where Juice gets up to the second level, and the reason why that's notable is I've gotten used to looking at that center or maybe the guard in some instances when they need to get up to that second level and you know, clear the way.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, y'all are step slow, and that guy is ultimately a guy that's going and blowing up the play. That was not the case in this. Like, you saw Juice get up to the second level. Yeah. In fact, sometimes in the interior, their runs on the interior were better than some of the outside zone
concepts
that they were running.
Yeah, I think they absolutely were. But yeah, in terms of Slowick, I can't quite say he hooped, but I do agree that he had his moments play calling that were well, especially at the start of the game. I mean, that was just boom, boom, boom. I mean, they were just getting it done. I feel like this one is going to be your version of how I feel about the Bobby Slowick hooped.
Now we're just trying to salute some people.
No. Yeah, maybe that's it. But I do think he hooped, and we were talking about this off air. Tank Dell was not, you know, head spinningly good. But when Nico went out, I believe he had all 4 of his catches after Nico went out. And so maybe hooped is a little strong.
Yeah.
But as much as Stephon Diggs, you know, stepped up when Nico went out and became the leading receiver in the game, I thought Tank did more than his own. Held more than his own.
Well, especially because we know that he is capable of more. Mm-hmm. And some of that, I do wonder if it's like, hey, can we get some more, right? Can we get some more from him? I think that still leaves something to be desired, but from what I think was asked of him, I think he handled it pretty well. Some other things that come up on the text line from the 361, Xavier Hutchinson did pretty well. I thought that he was pretty good in that instance because you did lose Nico Collins, and he is the next guy that kind of plays that X position. I noted it that the offense was not exactly the same. Don't get me wrong. Like you especially see it when you get into scramble drill. CJ doesn't have that same partner that Nico, kind of sets out there for you. But you don't the depth that you have at this wide receiver spot, you notice it because it's not the same, but it's not a tremendous fall off. You can still go and get things done, and Xavier Hutchinson did some of that as well.
And this is a little bit irritating. I'm just going to mention it because others might be thinking it. Hey guys, Buffalo was down 3 starters. Well, correct. The Texans were down 4, if you count Nico. Well, he only played 9 snaps. He had, including your top 2 running backs and your right tackle. This was one of those where you can say, hey, Shakir this or whatever on their starters.
Oliver, Ed Oliver. Miller, I get it.
Give me my top 2 running backs, and then maybe you can say that. No, I don't agree.
From the 281, how long is Nico out? We don't really know very much, but it seems like there's a lot of positivity towards the idea that he'll play next week. We're early on in this process, you know, and hamstring is something that's kind of been nagging a little bit with him.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see once they get back, or I guess we might hear from D'Amico today, or we will hear from D'Amico today, but we might hear about Nico from D'Amico today and see get a better idea. But it seems like he's kind of on a day-to-day kind of trajectory where he did not come back in that game, but he should be. You should not lose him for an extended period of time by any means. But yeah, that's who hooped. From the In the Loop's perspective, was Mechie active? Mechie was active. He got three plays.
Yeah.
But that was interesting as well that, like, you know, you lose Nico, but Mechie isn't that guy. Right?
Hutchinson stepped in.
Mechie is more, you know, if that slot guy is going to be out or maybe Tank is going to be out, then you're going to slide him into that situation. So he got in a little bit, but he didn't get a ton in that instance. Anybody else? All hearts clear?
Otherwise, it would be a reach kind of like Tank. You know, something of a reach if I thought anybody else who.
I thought Eric Murray plastered on defense pretty
How
well.
How do you feel about Jalen Petrie?
Jalen Petrie, I thought he was solid.
They had a dumb penalty, but I thought he was pretty solid.
Yeah, I thought he was solid as well.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't know if any of those rise to the level of Hoot, but did want to salute those five folks in a 23-20 victory for your Texans over the Bills. They're 4-1. They now have that tiebreaker over the Bills, and they move on to they're on the road in the next couple of weeks, but I think these games present different challenges, but not as big of challenges. We'll get there eventually, I'm sure, though. But coming up next, it's about time to get into our lunchtime confessions.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Do that.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
Watch this.
All right. I really don't want to do this, but it's confessions and I have to do it.
What?
Got to do it.
What an excuse that is.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
I have a complaint about the new H-Town blue uniform.
Uh-oh. I am wearing... Well, I don't even know if we can count this as H-Town blue.
But it is kind of. It's in the neighborhood.
It's close enough.
I don't want to, but I have to.
That's not true.
I probably don't have
to. I want to make it abundantly clear.
I probably don't really have to, but I'm going to.
Just stand on it.
Yeah, I'll
just stand on
it.
Stand on the fact that you're going to say it.
You can't read the numbers. You can't read the numbers. I don't know how bad it was. It's probably much better on television, and I taped the game. I'll look at it some today, I'm sure. But in the stadium, from the stands, like, you can't... It's an awesome uniform. Don't get me wrong. It's gorgeous. I love it. It's my favorite one. But a little white maybe around the numbers or a lighter color of some... Maybe.
Sir, that's the H-Town blue around the numbers, isn't it?
But it? Yeah, but it's not... You can't tell me you didn't notice that. It's hard to read the numbers.
It's funny because Seth mentioned the same thing during the game, and I still did not like think about it. And you know what? Y'all might be old. Oh, it's possible. It's possible y'all
it's
might just
there.
Be old, you know?
713-572-4610. Is it an old thing or could you read the numbers?
Nah, for real. I do need, because I'm trying to think about it and I don't think I ever really felt like, oh man, I'm having a hard time reading the numbers.
I was.
But you know what? As I pull up the, you know, all 22, it ain't the easiest thing to
tell.
It's
not easy.
And maybe I'm just, because I utilize the binoculars in the press box. Maybe I'm just leaning so much on the binoculars, or maybe I'm just also very used to, I know what position that is, so I have a good idea who that probably is.
Yeah,
so
that's part of it.
You know, maybe I'm just working off of that and not thinking about the numbers as much. But
I always like to see who's coming in, who's going out, and I'm like, is that 90? What is that 90? What? Well, I can't tell.
Yeah, shout out to Life in Motion, said it's not hard, you old bro.
I think that's just a hater.
From the 346, John, my vision is starting to go as well. Just accept it.
It's not. I think they're trolling me. It's hard. Look, I love that uniform. You got you can't really see the numbers as well, especially from the stand. Now, TV, I get it. It's going to be a lot easier.
Yeah, maybe the TV copy, all 22 copy. I'm seeing that. You know what? it's probably an issue with distance.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is it's probably one that looks good on TV, but from the distance of the press box, a little bit more tough to see. But yeah, I feel like the consensus is you just can't see, which is fine. It's all good. We can get you things for that.
Yeah. Hey, Lopez, you're right. I get it. Thank you.
These are my confessions. All right. Today is Figgy's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
He is not here.
Oh, it's too bad he got sick on his birthday.
Figgy called in sick. Notice I said he called in sick. I don't know that. But I feel kind of bad because I found out when Figgy's birthday was about a week ago, and I was like, I want to get Figgy something for his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what to get Figgy for his birthday.
What to get Figgy for his birthday? We'll talk about it with him tomorrow.
Because I was like, I would like to get him something for his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate all his work. He's a good dude, all that.
You get Figgy for
I have
his
no
birthday?
Idea.
And I should know.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Like, I was like,
something with music, I would say.
Okay. Music or wings?
Yeah.
Wings?
Oh, he does love him wings. He's a big wing guy.
Maybe a wing gift card.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe. Yeah, text in 713-572-4610. What should I get Figgy for his birthday? Because I legitimately don't have any idea. And I feel like a bad teammate, you know what I mean? Not having a good idea. So we'll workshop that.
Yeah, we definitely will. Watch this. These are my confessions. Concussion protocol, my ass.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
You can take that concussion protocol, NFL, and stuff it in a sock. I don't know if that's a confession. I guess the confession would be concussion protocol is convenient for the NFL. It's only a thing when it's convenient. You will never, ever convince me that Josh Allen wasn't out on the ground, like out cold on the ground on that hit that was, oh, it was my chest. Oh, now it's my ankle. Like the injury was moving from his chest to his ankle. He was knocked out. Give me a break, NFL. Don't make it a convenience call.
Yeah, it's real tough for the NFL because, like, hey, they know what they've built this game towards quarterbacks. Yeah. And especially in an inopportune time, just going through the natural, you know, progression of testing for a concussion takes long enough to where your quarterback's going to be out for a significant portion of the game, or at least an important portion of the game.
He was out, Reggie.
And he came back after one play.
I mean, his head
Mitchell Trubisky got
down.
One play in.
Yeah.
Now, of course, there was a TV timeout in there, I believe. So maybe that, but yeah. Look, I'm not even trying to be here to point out all the people involved and say that they're not doing their job right. Mm-hmm. I don't actually know that. It just didn't feel right. And I don't know what you do to make sure that it feels right, even if you're doing this properly.
That was embarrassing for the NFL. And then here they are always talking about the importance of the head injuries. And I'm sure there are a certain number of people that are very, very adamant about concussions in the NFL. But when it comes down to cutting time, oh, that's Josh Allen, and he says he wants to go back in the game, huh? All right, I guess we're going to let him back in the game.
There's a superstar clause to the
convenient. It's a rule of convenience. Watch this.
These are my confessions. I'm going to be a preseason basketball sicko.
Oh, please.
I'm going to. Rockets begin preseason basketball today, tonight at 7. They're in Utah versus the Jazz, and I'm going to be a preseason basketball sicko. I don't actually want to be a preseason basketball sicko.
But I'm going to be.
And I recognize that because I was thinking, I'm like, how do the Rockets play?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have the immediate full understanding the way that I like to as a basketball nerd of, like, how the Rockets play. And so I'm going to have to be a basketball sicko and watch preseason basketball so that I know. I'm going to figure out, there's the intricacies there, and that's what they're doing. Like, I'm going to be a preseason basketball
sicko. Generally speaking, I don't watch preseason NBA because I don't think they show really even a rotation that they're going to use.
No,
but I don't know. I'm trying to, as I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, does Udoka do that? Does he show a few rotations here? I don't remember him doing it.
I mean, I wouldn't. Yeah. I wouldn't.
That's
guess.
What I care about. I want to see the rotations.
Fair.
You know.
Yeah, and rotations will come. But I want to get a better look at all these dudes because what I'm realizing is I have a general idea, but I want to make sure that those ideas, that the preconceived ideas I'm coming in with, that I have down pat. So I say all that to say, you don't have to be like me. However, I will be watching preseason basketball tonight.
Well, let me know how it goes.
Okay, very good. We'll talk about it with Figgy.
Every time I'm out, they bring me back in.
Huh.
Every time I'm like, I'm just going to watch the Aggies, but I don't have any expectations. They suck me back in. Connor Wegman was next level, man.
Okay.
I was like, let's see how they do.
I was
against,
like, what is he talking about?
I was like, let's see how they do against Missouri. If they lose, they lose. I'm not going to let it ruin my day. And then they look like freaking world beaters. And I'm like, I'm in, baby. Let's see how far they can take this. All they got to do is beat LSU, and then they get Texas at home. And who
Weren't
knows?
You like throwing them away after week
I did.
One?
After week one, I was like, I'm out. I'm never all the way out. I always watch their games, and I'm pulling for them and all that. But I don't have that, you know, that expectation. Hey, man, you know, they look like they might never. I was out on that. And now I'm like, hey, man.
We're back. Well, some of it, though, is, hey, Mike Elko can coach a defense, baby.
Yeah, he can.
Mike Elko can coach a defense.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, and maybe I'm just being a little bit of a homer, mm-hmm. Colin Klein played football at Kansas State University, offensive coordinator at A&M. I thought that the way that the offense looked to start the season, I was like, ooh, that's a little rough.
Yeah.
It feels like he very quickly made adjustments to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
And so while it's going to be a defense-led team, it feels like the offense is a little bit more viable than it previously had been. In addition to Wegman, I think, finding a little bit more of his stride.
He was incredibly accurate. Like NFL type. You know, he's been hyped as an NFL, you know, prospect. Right. And I'm like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, sure, after the Notre Dame game. Boy, he looked like it yesterday, Saturday.
Okay. You're back in.
Back
officially.
In every year.
Okay, we'll see. Who are they playing soon? Let's see.
They're off this week, and then they got Mississippi State. And really, they have LSU at home, which is going to be a huge.
Mississippi State will be fine.
Yeah.
LSU is when he's. LSU is
going to be a great game, and if they win that.
Meyer's been better.
I do want to make this clear.
That defense isn't good.
I do not expect them to beat Texas, but I just want to get to the Texas game.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
I was just trying to forecast when you'd be out again.
Yeah, it'd be Texas.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, but maybe LSU.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Watch this. I think I'm going to become an online shopper fully.
Oh, good.
I
never leave the comfort of my own home. I buy everything. I bought Roundup that just arrived this morning.
I never wanted to be that guy.
I bought Weed Killer on Amazon.
I never wanted to be that guy. But like, one thing I'm realizing is people don't keep, they don't keep things in the store no more. Like, I like the immediacy of being able to just go pick it up off the shelf and have it, right?
Grocery store is the only time I do that. I go to the grocery store. Sure. Everything else is online.
But, like, also I saw something recently about how, hey, that's actually, like, not as good for the environment, driving everywhere in your car to go pick up stuff. So it might actually be better to have that shipping situation. And I was like, huh, okay, I guess I had not really thought about it that way. But I went looking for butane refills.
That'll do. They sell them.
Yeah. And that's. I thought I'd like, let me just run and get one. And I could not find a refill where I needed. And I was like, well, if I had just gone this online, it'd be coming to me. So I think that might be my catalyst. That might have been the final straw. I might become a full online.
It'll change your life, man.
Okay. I don't know. I feel like less of a man though. Somehow. I don't know why that is the case.
I can deal with it.
Okay. Very good. I'll find a way. But those are our lunchtime confessions. Here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you guys hanging out. Quite a few people getting in here talking about the things that, first of all, letting you know that it's okay that your eyesight is going. There are things that we have for that. A LASIK surgery, glasses, also bifocals if necessary. We can help you out there.
But I think they're all trolling me.
Yeah, they might be.
You can't tell me those uniforms are easy to see. Those numbers are easy to see.
Some people are just saying they didn't like them. Not many people are saying that, you know, they think that they were hard to read, though.
Mm-hmm.
So you're alone again in that regard. But a lot of people saying, well, first of all, 281 said them and Figgy share a birthday. Happy birthday to you. But some people said maybe two turntables and a microphone, gift card to Nike, hair dye. Okay. I don't know. Does he do it himself?
I think he gets somebody to do that. Yeah.
All right. Butane refills, what's Reggie getting into? Smoking cigars. That's what. But there you go. Those are our lunchtime confessions here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. All right, coming up next, let's get into around the AFC South, see what happened elsewhere around the division, and how your Texans developed a two-game lead once more in the division. We'll do all that next on Sports Radio 610. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, I'm Reginald Atatula. We got Byron Matthews in for the sick Figgy Fig.
Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers, indeed. In fact, If you have him on Twitter or on Instagram, I don't know what other social medias he might have, go ahead and go wish him a happy birthday. It is our guy's birthday today. So, yeah, make sure to do
that. Or tell him thoughts and prayers.
Or tell him both. Thoughts and prayers on your birthday.
Hang in there.
That's right.
Yeah.
In fact, don't even say, just hang in there. Just hang in there, Figgy. Yeah, exactly. That'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, go do that. Let us know what he says. But yeah, get involved on the text line, 713-572-4610. Let's get into around the AFC South, what happened around this division. Funny enough, not a ton happening around the division, where it's one game. But again, it is still choose your own adventure. So which team would you like to start with?
Let's start with the one that didn't play.
Yeah, the one that did not play is indeed the Tennessee Titans. They were on a bye. They're still 1-3. And one of the things that, as I was looking what was happening with the Tennessee Titans, I realized, do you know that there is not a single team in this division with a positive point differential?
Yeah, even the Texans.
So that was a weird thing to see in this AFC South. But Bill Callahan has said that Will Levis will start once he's healthy, however, and he's expected to be good. However, I know that Mason Rudolph has kind of expressed a little disappointment in the idea of possibly not being able to start going forward. He was able to play during the course of their last game when Will Levis was taken out of the game on Monday night. Where would you go in that regard? Because Will Levis, obviously, he tracks more and projects more as their kind of quarterback of some level of future, if not the future. But Mason Rudolph looks like he's definitely a lower ceiling, 100% lower ceiling, but he is way more consistent and steady than Will Levis.
Yeah, I actually think that they are going to play a Mason Rudolph. Because if you think about it, on the one hand, you could say, well, Will Levis has another week to kind of, you know, work on things and grasp the system and all that stuff a little better. But really, Mason Rudolph does too. I mean, he does too. And if your objective is to win games, it does come down to, who gives you the best chance. And unlike some other places, like Cleveland, you're not giving up. I mean, it's not a wrap on Will Levis. But I think, you know, it's maybe a reset. Even if he does start again this year, but try to win some games, you know, as you go. I think it's not a great situation, but I would expect Mason Rudolph, contrary to what he was saying.
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, there's quite a divide in the Titans fan base. Mm-hmm. Their SB Nation site, the Music City Miracles, what it's called, or whatever. Yeah. They put out a little poll themselves to see who they thought should start after the bye week for the Titans. 51% said Will Levis.
That's pretty well split.
49% Mason Rudolph. I mean, the only way it gets more split is if it's 50-50. It's kind of incredible how many. You're not in a good place if people are like, we need Mason Rudolph.
We have to have Mason Rudolph.
So, yeah, that's what's happening with the Tennessee Titans. They're debating whether their backup or their starting quarterback should play in the upcoming week as they are 1-3 and they are currently on. By the way, Week 5 bye week is an awful situation.
It's way too early, right?
Like, I don't know exactly how they, because, I mean, you have
something
to figure
out. Something like 7 through 11 or 12 or whatever is where you should start it.
I feel like, yeah.
Yeah?
But the tough thing about it, and like, I think even though I know they try and keep it from having bye weeks really late in the season, I still think I'd much rather have a later bye week than a super early bye week.
Mm-hmm.
It feels weird to say this. I don't think teams are even really all that tired yet, right? Like,
compared to what they will be.
Yeah.
And how beat up
they will get absolutely beat up. And I imagine that that's got to really stink for the Titans this when you get later on and you're just like, we got beat up. But so glad we got a week five bye week where we could take a time and reevaluate what's happening.
It actually snuck up on me, because obviously I play fantasy football like a lot of people. And went, oh, crap. I got to come up with some subs already.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think 7 should be the first bye week.
Like even 6, I could see a little bit better, but I'm with you. I think 7.
Yeah.
Titans will get the Colts in week 6 when they get back into it. So that's what's happening there. All right. We continue. Choose your own adventure around the AFC South where you want to go.
I need me a Joe Flacco discussion.
All right. You want to talk about the Colts as my internet decided not to help me out right now. Don't you hate when that happens? But yeah, we continue around the NFC South, talk about the Indianapolis Colts, who after being, by the way, they're 2-3, they lost to the Jags, and after being down 34-20 with 5.5 to go thereabouts, they tied the game at 34, with 2 minutes 50 left. And then, that defense gave up 37 points ultimately as they lost 37-34. And they surrendered 497 total yards, which was the most that Jags had in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
They surrendered 8.7 yards per play, which is the most.
None of that is good.
Most since the Jags have had since, get this, 1998. Colts defense not good.
Man.
That's all I wanted to say. I just wanted you to know the Colts defense have not been very good at all. What was good in some regards, Joe Flacco. You wanted to have this debate, let's do it. 33-44, so good for 75%. 359 yards, averaged 8.2 yards per attempt, 3 touchdowns. He did get sacked 4 times, but I mean, hey, man.
He also ran for, 29 yards or something on one run. He went full Josh Allen mode, which was way out of character, especially for a 39-year-old. But he got it. My thing with Joe Flacco is, you know, the arc of his popularity is really not even an arc. It's almost like an EKG. You know, it just goes up and down, up and down. But when you hang around this league and you do the things that he's done and you win the games that he's won, and especially these last 2 years with Cleveland and Indianapolis, it's uncanny. He's going to end up being just an absolute beloved player, you know, when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I feel like we as sports fans love folks who aren't supposed to be here,
mm-hmm.
right, or who we view as not supposed to be here. And Joe Flacco in week 17, as old guy, people seem to love it. In fact, interestingly enough, in his media availability, I believe after this game, he seemed to kind of liken what Anthony Richardson is dealing with the hip thing to his, you know, year 11 injury, mm-hmm. where Lamar Jackson ultimately comes in and usurps him, and talks about how, you know, the decision between trying to come back and battle back so that you don't lose that spot, but then also considering the future. And he kind of in some ways attributed that to why he's still here in year 17 here. But in playing football, but I found it interesting that he made that particular comparison. I don't know if necessarily he has some feeling that he's going to take the job from Anthony Richardson in the same way that Lamar Jackson did for him. But that kindred, I guess, feeling that he seemed to have with Anthony Richardson there was interesting.
The other aspect of this that is very interesting is, and I know Jameis, you know, has had his moments and all that, but you don't think they're missing the boat, missing him a little bit in Cleveland? After what he did last year. And by the way, there was a report, I think it was Diana Russini today, saying that Joe Flacco's people were, quote, shocked that they didn't make an offer for him to stay around.
The Colts were the only team to offer Joe Flacco a contract this year.
Yeah.
He's 39 years old, and he just made his 186th career start, which is the fourth most amongst active quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess salute to them. They got a continual veteran that's helping them navigate a really weird quarterback situation that they have with Anthony Richardson. And so we move it along around the AFC South to the other side of that game, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who got their first win of the season. No more completely defeated teams in the NFL. They are no winless teams. 1-4 now, the Jacksonville Jaguars, with their 37-34 win. And they also debuted their Prowler throwback uniforms. All right. It's in.
Are they throwbacks, really? It seems weird when you say that.
But I mean, it does feel like a throwback, but they have not varied too far.
Yeah.
Straight too far from those overall. I get what you're saying, but they are the throwbacks. They're probably the best iteration of jerseys that they've had as a franchise.
I think so. Yeah.
So, yeah, they debuted that. They also inducted Tom Coughlin into their Hall of Fame, their mm-hmm. inaugural head coach. That feels like that had to happen, right?
Oh, for sure.
I do this one almost exclusively for our listener, Ocho, because he loves this man, and you know where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Thomas Jr. notched the fastest ball carrier speed that's been recorded by Next Gen Stats this year. 22.15 miles per hour on an 85-yard go route.
I think that's pretty fast.
Yeah. Like,
I think that's pretty fast.
If you were going to have a player that you were fascinated by, mm-hmm. shout out to Ocho. Brian Thomas Jr., not a bad one because fast guy, very capable. I mean, we saw that up close and personal here mm-hmm. in the ways that him in the slot when he was getting out here and doing things, it was fun. But he was able to get an 85-yard touchdown on a go route, and he just torched the cornerback. Trayvon Walker.
Well, thank you, because that's kind of where I was going to go. This, to me, for the Jaguars, was obviously good news for Jacksonville fans, but to me it was kind of a big tease game. Start with Trevor Lawrence. Career-high 371 yards passing.
Yes.
That's a big tease, because he's so inconsistent. You know there are people up there going, well, maybe he's going to turn the corner. How many times you said that? You know, how many times have you said that about Trevor Lawrence? Okay, maybe this is the one that ignites him. Now, I could be wrong, and maybe it is, but all evidence is, like, he'll do this to you. He'll throw a game or two up there where you're like, all right, and then it goes back to to what he was. And then the other one is Trevon Walker.
Yeah.
Probably the best game of his career.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Three sacks and a forced fumble. Josh Hines-Allen on the other side added a sack and a fumble recovery. But, like, it's always been interesting looking at Walker because they made a mistake taking him over Aiden Hutchinson. Like, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. But you could see that the talent that he has shows up. So at least that will make it better. I wonder if that they could get to a point where they can maybe have Trevon Walker be like the city of Houston feels about Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard anyone in the city of Houston be like, damn, we didn't get Jordan?
Mm-hmm. No.
Not really. Like, everybody's like, no, we're glad that we got Hakeem. Like, yeah, Jordan's over there and he's great and probably the greatest of all time. But, yeah, we're good with Hakeem. Like, I do wonder if Trevon Walker's able to do more of that. If he doesn't get to that spot. But yeah, very far away. More tease than what I've described there. And finally, Tank Bigsby, man.
They still do that angry runs thing?
He'll be up there. He'll be up there, man. He already had a career best against the Texans last week. I know I'm bringing up old stuff. Don't worry about it. But he ran for 101 yards against the Colts as well.
Mm-hmm.
Tank Bigsby, man. I know that they've said that he is not overtaking Doug Peterson. He said he will not overtake Trevor Etienne. Etienne is their guy. But yeah, that might be something to watch for because Bigsby can tote that rock, buddy.
He ran over five dudes. I'm looking at it right now, like over, not just around, over five dudes. But you know what? I think the right call is the 1-2 punch and keep featuring Etienne.
So, yeah, they have back-to-back London games. As we mentioned, they face off against the Bears at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, mm-hmm. week six, and then they go to, they're both in London, but then they get the Patriots mm-hmm. at Wembley. Week seven. That sucks for the Patriots. They're gonna, although they'll play at home. We'll play them at home.
Yeah, playing at home. Yeah, Sunday, and then they travel.
Yeah.
Jacksonville, they desperately needed that win, but I do feel it was mostly like a tease game. That they're still gonna do what we know they do.
And we appreciate the Jags for beating the Colts, so the Colts fall.
Yeah, the division's almost a wrap already.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you hate to say that, but it is.
Two games up, your Houston Texans on the nearest team being the Colts at 2-3. Other teams only have one win between with Jacksonville and Tennessee. Yeah, it's a sad division when it comes to those mm-hmm. other folks mm-hmm. if you're not the Houston Texans. What a time. That's around the AFC South. Appreciate you hanging out with us in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. All right, coming up next. It is a victory Monday. Texans got a victory 23-20 over the Bills, a signature win over a good team and a good quarterback in the league. However, it wasn't perfect. So let's nitpick a little bit. Victory Monday nitpick. What are the things that we still need to see better from these Texans? We'll do that next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.